Mr. Benedict de Souza, room 9.
Yes, it all came under one department.
Besides taking charge of the laborers and seeing that they cut the grasses in the country, do you know what other work was this health department responsible for?
It was responsible, I suppose, for the cleanliness of the country, and from a health point of view, like seeing that there were no mosquitoes around, because if we did have mosquitoes, would have been, and people did get sick, you know, dengue or what, malaria, it'll be a big burden on the Japanese government. So in that way, at least they did something about looking after our welfare.
Did you know how many people were working in this health department?
No. You mean in the office? Mm-hmm. No. Roughly, I'd say 15 to 20.
They were all local people?
All local.
During your job as a grass cutter, did any Japanese ever visit all of you?
I don't remember, which means I think it is no. The answer is no.
How long were you working as a grass cutter before you were transferred to be an oilman?
As I said earlier, I think about 5 to 6 months.
What was the reason for the transfer?
If I remember correctly, I asked for it. It appeared to be more challenging, and I thought at that time more prospects, and I was right, eventually.
You mentioned something about shifting away from Newton to Katong.
Yes, we removed from Newton and we went to stay in the Katong area, in Ceylon Road. And there, I wanted to go back to work and met friends, because I was a Katong boy before, or a Katong guy. Met some of these friends and told me where to meet, and I went back to grass cutting again. Sorry, I went there, but they put me, I did grass cutting for a time again, and they put me to be an overseer in charge of the children picking up pots and pans, bottles, empty bottles and things like that.
Did you become an oiler when you were at Newton or when you...
At Newton.
So what was your job as an oiler?
Our job was to oil areas where there were puddles of water, pools, any stagnant water. And even if the water was running, it could be running at a very slow pace, and where the weeds or the grass were overhanging the drain or ravine, or then we still had to oil the sides, because by oiling the sides, when the rain comes or when the water gets high or lower, it'll drip into the water, and which was running, and flow to another area where maybe that place would be stagnant as well. So in that way, it will cause a film over the water, and no chance for the mosquitoes to breed.
How did you get your transfer? Who did you see to get the transfer?
From
the grass cutter to an owner.
I saw my overseer.
So he was the one who allowed you to be transferred. As an owner, did you have to report to him or to another person?
To another person.
How did you report to work?
We went to the store to go and collect our push cart. It was just like a bullock cart. The only thing, there were no bullocks. We were the bullocks. And put in our drums of oil, take our cans to be strapped on our back, went off to the area that we hadn't covered the previous day.
Where was this from?
Somewhere in Lower Bukit Timah.
So your supervisor would be there in the morning waiting for you?
Correct.
How many of you were then reporting to that storm?
My section was only just three of us.
Would your supervisor, how would your supervisor assign your duty each day?
Well, we would liaise with him, because if he couldn't cover us, by 2 o'clock we used to go back to the store, and that was it. And he, in the interim, would either go to all the areas that he was supervising to check. You know, by one look at it, would he be able to tell that area has been covered? Or he may find something that's not been oiled, and he let us know. So we just went off on our own. He's to meet us, he's to know where we were, if not by the day before or even 2 days before that. More or less he could tell, you see. Oh, I'll find Ben, Sydney, and the other chap, can't remember his name now, in that area. So we'll go there. He'll check with everything, and he himself will do some scooping, see if there were any larvae. And then he said, okay, you'll carry on. He'll instruct us to do a certain area, we'll do that. Finish off, we need to go back.
Did he give all of you the instructions as to where to go every morning?
No, as I said, if we hadn't finished an area by the time we were supposed to knock off, we'll go back to that day. And we report when we see him. Tell him we hadn't finished, we went back there. Or we just go back there and he will know, you see. He will know. I mean, it's a matter of trust. He said, no, okay, we'll find Ben and his gang, and it's in a certain area. He will go up there and meet us. And that's where he found me taking down, drawing maps and all that. So he said, this guy has got some initiative, he's in keen, and he made me in charge of them.
How many sections were there under this supervisor? And beside your group of three, how many other groups?
I don't know, but I know there were, at that time I was still in Bukit Timah, we can call it Bukit Timah Newton area. Maybe there was some in the town side, near Albert Street, some in Lower Serangoon, some in Orchard Road, perhaps, around about that. But we hardly met, you know. We never knew each other so much, except for the ex-grass cutters and a few oilers.
Who were your fellow workers? Did you know the two of them?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I didn't know them, but, you know, they were Eurasians as well, so we got on fairly easily.
Were your working hours the same as before?
Same as the grass cutter.
What about your salary?
Salary was more. I think it was $1.50 more, I think.
So $2.50 per day?
Per day. Mm-hmm. And the rations were also more.
Did you get them monthly as well?
Yes.
And as an oiler, were you given uniform or?
Yes, we had to have uniform. Initially, none. We didn't have any, but after a short time, they gave us a uniform which was full of oil. We had to, you see, and we used to carry our own in a bag and, you know, change if we felt like it.
What kind of uniform?
It was a KD brown. KD, well, KD stands for khaki drill. Brown in color.
Was there any badges to say that you were working for the health department?
I can't remember, but I think there was. But in the mere fact that they saw us with the can and with the cart indicated that we were working for the health department.
Was your supervisor a Chinese or of another race?
One was a Chinese, the other one was a Eurasian, a very elderly man, who had long service in the health department.
Both were in charge of oilers?
They were in charge, well, they were in the health department. Either they should go around, you know, checking the people who, the overseers who were the grass cutters, and checking the overseers who were oiler, you know, all oilers. And they had more than that to do. I never did ask them.
How did they treat all of you?
Very well, very well. We were like a family. You know, we were young, we used to play pranks with them and things like that. Come late and say, "Where's Ben? Oh, he's there. I didn't see him." "Oh yes, he's there. He came early when he was having his breakfast or something. We stood for each other. Are you sure he came? I'm marking down Napson," and you know. But we got on. There was no big fights.
How long did you work as an oiler before your supervisor asked you to do the work in the office?
Well, no, it was office as well as a supervisor, as well as being in charge of these three people. It's only when I had the time as to go and make my report in office, which was not necessary, but he just wanted me to do. Less than 6 months or so. 4, 5 or 6 months.
So sometimes you would go out doing your job as an oiler and sometimes you would go to the office?
Very seldom though, to the office, very seldom. As a matter of fact, I didn't like being there. Because I didn't know my job as a draftsman or whatever you call it. And I'd rather be with my friends.
The times that you were in the office, what kind of work did he ask you to draw?
To map out the area that we oiled in detail, you know, which is not, it's not a 1 hour job or 2 hours job. I mean, by the time I went to the office, it was almost time to go back. So just draw roughly. I didn't know what ink to use and what pen to use, but I finally got it.
And who did you submit that work to?
To my overseer.
So you worked as an oiler for about 5-6 months?
That is right. Before we removed to Katong.
That was the reason why you left?
Yes.
Did you have to tell your supervisor that you had to leave the job?
Oh yes.
So after that you did not receive any more pay and rations from this?
No, only from the other side.
Was it considered as resigning and then joining again?
No, they didn't. They didn't bother whether it was a resignation, whether you broke service and things like that. So there was somebody on the job.
So over at Katong, you mentioned that your friends were the one who told you where to report for.
Yeah.
How did they decide to appoint you as the overseer there?
I can't remember that part of it. Whether I was asked or they just put me there. I can't remember. Because I had a way with children, I don't know. I just can't remember. But I know that I was overseeing children.
Did you get this job immediately when you moved to Katong?
Almost immediately. Almost. Because the first few days we were, you know, unpacking and unpacking, getting ourselves settled. And that was done. Look for the job.
Do you remember where was the place that you reported to?
It was somewhere in the open field. In some open area.
Which part of Katong?
I think it was around a Duchat place. Somewhere around there. Juche place at Tulukarau. I'm talking about 40 years ago, not now.
How did you go to work then?
Either walking, if it was close by, or on bicycle.
Who was the person who you reported to every morning?
The overseer, a new overseer, another chap.
as an overseer, you still had to report to another one above.
Yeah. Because we had to give our report more or less. Where we covered Ben, that area, okay, now we take the children and go over to another area. And even when we have finished the area that he was allocated to, we should go back again to the first area. And our children, they used to play the fool. They were getting 50 cents a day.
So the area would be assigned by your supervisor?
Supervisor. Or if he was not around for some reason or other, just take the children and cover another area. Well, it was almost, it was around Chapel Road, Ceylon Road, Joo Chiat Road, wherever you find now, Katong Plaza, and People's Park, all down around that area, around the church area. And so it was quite simple. Just tell them tomorrow you meet me here. And then when they come, I have to bring them to another place. And then meet me there tomorrow. Then this overseer of ours was go around cycling, hunting high and low. Where's Ben? Where's Jimmy? Where's Tom? And that's how he used to work it out. Is it? Half a day's job, and we so mostly do over 2 hours job.
How did you get your children?
They were allocated to me. I don't know how it started, because when I went there, they were already in action.
How many children were assigned to you?
I had about 20 to 25.
How would they be given their 50 cents a day?
From my overseer. I never handled money.
How old were these children?
Eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, maybe 13.
Were they from all sorts of backgrounds?
That's right.
Races?
Also all races, all backgrounds. But most of them were from fairly good, healthy people, you know. I mean, you can see that they didn't need the money. It's just give the children something to do rather than give them mischief, be mischievous at home. And school had not started yet, or I can't remember whether school did start. So instead of roaming the streets, better roam with this overseer and get some money.
Were they staying around the area?
Oh yes.
What were your working hours like this time? Your working hours?
The same.
So the children worked the same?
8:30 to 2:30, 7 to 1, our time.
Any break in between?
No, we could break when we wanted.
How much were you paid as an overseer?
I was paid more, a little bit more than the time I was working as a grass cutter and as an oiler. Came to about $3 or $4 or $5 a day. I can't remember.
And where would you collect your pay?
We had a branch somewhere in Katong area. And we should go and collect our pay there.
What about your rations?
I can't remember whether we had rations whether I had rations when I was an overseer with children. I can't remember.
As an overseer, were you given a uniform or
no,
a pass?
No, series. More or less, they could tell. Is it?
How many people were doing the same kind of job as yourself in that area?
You mean looking after children? I think we had three or four batches.
All within Katong area?
All within that area. We didn't go further than, maybe there was another section down below, I didn't know about it. We didn't go further than Hague Road, I think. Or we didn't reach Hague Road. Up to St. Pat's, maybe, or further. Siglap.
During all this while, when you were working for this health department, did any Japanese... Do you have any contacts with the Japanese?
No.
Besides your work, were there any other extra duties that you had to do?
No. We come at 8:30, we go back at 2:30. The rest, Bob's your uncle. We are not interested in...
Besides the incident that you mentioned about the children finding the bullet, were there any other incidents?
No. Everything was fine and dandy. No problem. It was a happy working life, you know. Nothing to look forward to except your salary. Because we didn't know the future, our future, and we didn't know how long the Japanese were going to be there, what were their plans for opening up Singapore, or Shonento.
But when you're working for this health department, first as a grass cutter, then an oiler, and then an overseer, did you have any trouble with the Japanese authorities?
No. No, not with the Japanese authorities, never did. Because we knew it would just like going from the frying pan into the fire.
Were all of you considered as working for the Japanese?
Yeah.
How long did you stay in this job as an overseer?
Until we were asked to go to Bahau.
Mr. D'Souza, after working in the mornings, what did you do for the rest of the day?
Well, in the beginning there was nothing much except remain at home, go and visit friends. But later on we got into the idea of going and doing black market work, and word went around that I was involved in this game, so friends got word of it and called me and asked me to do some black market for them. Either it was their own belongings they wanted to sell, or they had articles from, like, clothes and many other things, shoes, which were very good quality, you know, English quality, and their friends either felt very shy about going about the job, or they just didn't have the time, or perhaps they were scared, I don't know. There was nothing to be scared of, but the word went down, and these people got in touch with me, and of course I went on doing it for them, which meant that I had to carry whatever they had either in a kind of a sack on my bicycle and go over to this place, which was called, and it's still called, Sungai Road. That's where everybody hawked their things. And in the beginning, I didn't do business very well because I didn't know the technique. There were shops who were selling these things in Sungai Road, and I had to first get to know their price before I hawked them to any passerbys. So then, of course, I did make a blunder. I undersold, more or less. And when I got wind of such a thing, and I got experience, of course, I used to hide my thing somewhere, go to the shops, make it appear I wanted to buy, find out the price, look at the quality, and just say thank you, walk off, and go around the corner, pick up my things, which was either looked after by some friends, and then go back and go out and sell. It wasn't a very big area. It's still not a big area. And then sometimes we used to do it this way. My friend is to go back to these shops while I look after them. And, you know, in so doing, these people might think, oh, this object or this particular item is in great demand. So he may, you know, raise up the price, come back and we'll have a little confab. We'll go back and go around and try and hawk it. Now, if we couldn't do it very well there, the business was not so good, or our prices were too high, we used to get hold of other people who knew people who wanted such items and go to their shops or go to their houses and flog it. You see, we used to get our price. And invariably, the price we asked for was quite high, and invariably more than the price that our customer wanted. And then we used to get, make on that, and we used to get a little tip from our customer. It was quite good. Sufficient for an afternoon's job, and then go back home. There were days when business was quite brisk. There were days when it was good, but longer hours. Sometimes right up to dusk. But we never liked to remain to dusk because we were afraid of going home when it was dark and being not caught, but questioned by any Japanese soldiers who might be suspicious of what we were carrying, and for no random reason, just stop us and maybe slap us. So we just moved on whilst it was still bright.
Did you do it every afternoon?
Practically every afternoon, unless there was no business for me to do, or unless it rained cats and dogs, then of course business was at a standstill in that area.
In the beginning, how did you know that you could get into black market business?
No, we young men got around, and it was just told to us, you see, that things like that could be done. As a matter of fact, I used to go there and buy things for myself. Later on, as we got this thing going, we used to buy things for ourselves, bring it back from anybody who wanted to sell, bring it back home, and we discuss what price it could fetch in about a week's time or 10 days' time. And in the interim, maybe somebody would hear of it, come over to my place and say, Ben, I believe we have something to sell. How much do you want? And, you know, they make a little that way. A little kind of trading, like black market trading. And sometimes we used to even... We did it, I think, on not more than 3 occasions when we befriended the Japanese, those who looked civil, who were not fierce, and got things from them as gifts. And we used to go around and, you know, barter or trade or sell with those who have similar items.
Do you remember how did you get started in the first place? Your very first case?
As far as I can remember, someone told me about it, and I went round. I think it was to get into the swing of it. I went down with one or two friends of mine just to see how it was done and help them, and I got a little commission. You could take an item, we'll say a bed sheet, pretty good one, clean, and you say, okay, I want $20 for it. Whatever is above that is yours. And then, of course, likewise, I have to mark up the price, get that for myself, and he'll give me something. Perhaps he'll give me a drink or a little something to eat, that's all. Then when the thing got going, so why should I do it for somebody else? Why not do it for myself?